Welcome to the Heavenly Warriors Radio Network, training people all over the world to fight spiritual darkness and wickedness in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 6:12. The Lord says, His people perish for lack of knowledge. Heavenly Warriors is dedicated to spreading the knowledge of the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're tired of being a human punching bag for the devil, and you're hungry for more Holy Spirit power in your life, stay tuned.
All right, welcome back to Omega Man Radio. We're live tonight with Pastor Rick Bell from Texas, heavenlywarriors.com. Brother Rick, the mic is yours. Take it away, my friend.
Thank you, my brother. I want to share something tonight that I haven't. This is the first time I'm releasing this word, but it came to me probably 2 years ago now. But it involves you, and that's the interesting thing about it. I didn't know at the time when I received this dream vision. I'm not sure what it was, but it was very vivid. You know, the difference in, for me anyway, when I have a prophetic dream, it is an extremely real experience. It's in full color. The sensations are like I'm actually there. It's not like a normal dream that you would have. But this came to me a few years ago, and I want to share that with God's people, because God is doing some things right now. It says in His Word that He doesn't do anything unless He reveals it first through His prophets. So God gives men and women all over the world basically the same message. And the message that that I got from this was that time is short and something's coming. So we have to get in good shape to be able to deal with this. So here's the vision. Again, came to me 2 years ago before I knew you. But strangely enough, and this is where you come into this, I am standing, it's the middle of the afternoon, and I'm standing somewhere in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, why I was in Las Vegas, it didn't really make any sense to me. I had not been to Las Vegas. Well, I haven't been to Las Vegas in probably 7 or 8 years. It's the last time I was out there. I used to do quite a bit of business out there, but not anymore. So it was strange to me that I would have a vision of being in Las Vegas in the middle of the afternoon. And I was standing in some sort of a tower, like a watchman tower. Like when I go to the prison to do prison ministry, they have guard towers. You've seen those if you've ever been to a prison. And they are stationed in each corner of the prison yard. And in that tower, there is a guard with a rifle and binoculars and a radio. And he's watching. Well, I was in this tower in Las Vegas. And there was one other person in that tower with me. It was a man who, I didn't know this man at the time, but now I know that that man was you, Shannon Davis.
Wow.
And you were in this tower, and we were looking out over a beautiful Las Vegas afternoon. It wasn't in the summertime, I remember. It was spring or fall. It was that time of the year, you know. In the middle of the summer in Las Vegas, it gets really hot, like 115 degree hot. And this was not that. So we were in this tower, and it was a lovely afternoon. I was speaking to you, and I turned around to look out over the horizon, and I saw the clouds begin to darken. I mean really darken, not just cloudy, but dark. You know that dark, dark blue that a thundercloud gets when it's impending terrible weather.
Right.
So I looked and I saw this cloud forming, the sky turning dark. I turned back to you and I said, looks like we may be in for some bad weather. I looked back and in that darkness, in that cloud, I saw a funnel cloud, a tornado that had quickly developed, and it had blown up into a full-blown tornado. And this tornado was on the ground, and we were in this tower watching this. And I turned back to you, and I said, look, there's a tornado. There's a tornado. And as I'm facing you saying, there's a tornado, I turn back to look at the tornado, and there are now three tornadoes, distinct, different tornadoes, three of them. And I said, oh, man, I turned back to you, and I said, now there are three tornadoes. And in just the second that it took me to turn to you and turn back, the entire sky was completely covered in tornadoes. More than I can count. Absolutely, the whole sky had turned dark. And these tornadoes were coming. Not one, not two, not three, but many, many. To where the entire landscape of the sky turned into, you know, 100 of these dark, ominous tornadoes coming. And that was the end of the vision. And I didn't release that vision. I didn't say anything about that because I didn't really know what the significance of the tower was and what was the significance of Las Vegas and who the other person was in the tower. Blonde-haired guy. But I didn't know you at the time until the Lord brought that back to me just this past week, and he filled in the pieces for me and told me. That's the Las Vegas thing. This show, for those of you who are listening who don't know, it originates from Las Vegas because that's where Shannon's studio is, and that's where it's a very good place for the gospel of the Lord to be, definitely to counteract some of the other things that everyone knows comes out of there. So saying that, that was the vision that I had.
Amazing.
Yeah, and it points to the reality that things are happening. They're changing around us. And they're changing probably faster than many of us want them to. But I believe, Shannon, there are spiritual storms coming. And we are in the path of those. Now, the world will tell you that you need to, you know, buy all the dried food you can get and get as many guns and as much ammunition as you can get your hands on. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not going to do you any good. It seems like it's comfortable to you to think that because you can be in charge of your own destiny. That's not going to sustain you in what's coming. Because I don't care how many rounds of ammunition and how many guns or bunkers or bug out shelters you have, the thing that's coming's got more of them. The things that are going to be unleashed on us are going to be horrific, and they're going to be beyond anything that we can imagine. Now, I don't know why I'm prompted to share this now, but I am. I've had these things that came to me in 2007. I was working in Austin, Texas, and you're familiar with Austin. I believe you lived there for a time.
Absolutely.
I commuted every day. I actually live outside of Austin, and it's about a 45-50 minute commute in to a small area called Round Rock. And you know where Round Rock is, a suburb of Austin, and that's where my office, where I worked for this company. I was driving in one day, and the only thing I liked about my commute was I had plenty of time to pray and listen to my Christian stuff. You know, it's my quiet time. So one day I was turning, I was exiting off of Interstate 35 right there at Round Rock, Texas. And I was looking, you know, at my drive every day. When you do a drive 5 days a week, you get real familiar with it. No big surprises. And I'm looking out over the landscape, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. And I had a glimpse, I had a vision for probably about 4 or 5 seconds. What I was looking at was absolutely desolate. It looked like a ghost town. If you remember how New Orleans looked after Hurricane Katrina,
sure.
It looked like that. There was no movement. There were no vehicles moving. There's nothing. It was like something had happened. Now, the buildings were largely intact, but cars were, like, abandoned. They were just there. Doors were open. Hoods were open. And the Lord spoke to me and said, now, this is heavy, Shannon, and I feel I need to share this. Because I want anyone who's listening that can add to this, because a lot of times you'll hear a prophetic word and someone else will have another piece to that puzzle. I would like for you to, you know, you guys to contact me if you have another piece to this, or just respond in the chat room with some things. But as I saw that 4 or 5 second vision of this desolation, the Lord spoke to me and said, what's coming is going to be more horrible than your mind can comprehend. Now, that's a heavy word. As I'm driving into my office, you know, for another day in the salt mines, as we say, to get on the phone and do smiling and dialing like we do, and, you know what's required. You got to be in a positive frame of mind. But that's what the Lord spoke to me, said, what is coming is more horrible than your mind can comprehend. Now, my mind can comprehend some pretty horrible things. You know, as a police officer, you see some pretty horrible things. But he said it was more horrible than that. And that was it. That was all those years back. But as things have progressed, if you notice, it's been a slow progression. It's not been an all-at-once thing, brother. And I believe that's because of the grace of God, that he is just giving us every opportunity we possibly could have to repent, to get serious about this stuff we talk about on Omega Man every day, to really dig in with everything you've got and devote the rest of the time you have in your life on this earth to a worthwhile cause, which is the gospel ministry. There are people listening to me right now who know they have a call on their life to minister, but for whatever reason, they've neglected or delayed, or things get in the way. And I understand how life happens. It just does. But I would ask you, Shannon, when you felt the call to take this huge obligation of doing this thing called Omega Man Radio, how did that play out for you? Did you just wake up one day and said, gee, I think I want to do a daily radio show and have to get all that together? And in fact, let's just do it 7 days a week. Yeah, that's what I want to do. Is that how it happened for you? Or was there some, God, are you sure?
No, that wasn't the way it worked out. Actually, the Lord started to plant in my spirit that I was to do a program when I was still living overseas in Panama. This was back around 2005. And I was listening to Adam Kerr every day, the former MTV VJ. Mm-hmm. And he was doing a program, and I said, man, I really like what this guy's doing. It's awesome quality. I wonder if we could do something like that. And, of course, I'm listening to the podcast at the time. There's a few of them out there at that time. And then I got a call one day from my grandmother, and she would speak to the Lord every day. She said, son, the Lord has a word he wants you to speak. And I kind of laughed at her. I said, grandmother, what word is that? I said, I'll be glad to speak it, but he's got to give it to me first. So she kept telling me this. And, you know, I said, God, I would love to do an internet radio show and bring on the guests that I want to see, come on the program and be able to ask them questions, Rick, and be able to not do just a half-hour show and they leave you with a cliffhanger and you never get the answers you're looking for, and maybe they don't come back on the show again, but I want to just be able to, you know, have unlimited time. So I said, maybe we could do this thing. We could have a really cool program, but I knew nothing about how to do it. So I just began to figure, well, maybe if I had the same equipment as Adam Curry did, maybe I could pull it off. So I wrote him, and he said, yeah, this is the equipment I use, and I bought it. And I said, I don't know how to put this stuff together. So I just kind of started to collect this equipment. It would be another 5 years, though, before the radio program would become a reality. So God began to plant that in my spirit, but it wasn't an overnight thing. And he kind of began to transition me into, you know, what we're doing tonight. But really, it came to fruition when one day the Lord told me, he said, pack your bags and leave Costa Rica and come back to the States. And, you know, I was hoping to stay overseas indefinitely. But I obeyed the Lord, came back to the States, and I said, God, I feel like I'm ready to do this, but I have no idea how to put it together. So I put out a quick query to three people I knew, and one of them actually was Rick Wiles of True News. He was the only guy who wrote me back and said, you know, I'm looking at this new technology called Blog Talk, because we're still using these mixing boards, and I'm thinking about being able to do a show mobile. Check it out. And lo and behold, within 48 hours, we launched, and that was 5 years ago next month. Let me throw it back to you.
You know, and that's a perfect example of what I'm saying. Many of the people listening have something, an unction to do something that the Holy Spirit put in them, but they have no really idea how to do it or where to start. Or, you know, is this really from God? I would say to them, because all of us in ministry have had those same sorts of callings that we had no idea how this was going to happen. So I would say to them to take one small step at a time, one line upon another line, one precept upon another precept, line upon line, precept upon precept, and then one day things will just start to fall into place and the door will open for you. And that's what really this Christian ministry, this thing is all about. There's no set way to do any of this because each one of us are different members of the body. My right hand does not do what my left knee does. They, trust me, they have two completely different functions, and they both function properly and correctly. So we all have different things. Now, what I want to do tonight, I want to give everyone a heads up, because I want to put some printed material in everyone's hands, and I've prepared all this on my website for you. So I want you all to go quickly to heavenlywarriors.com, and there's a download button on the front page. It's a post. Just scroll down. I think it's my song pops up first, but just scroll down. You'll see a download for something that's called Deliverance Questionnaire, Basic Deliverance Questionnaire. And I want you to go ahead and download that. I'll give you a few minutes to do that, because I want to get this into people's hands so that they can begin doing deliverance ministry. Now, some of you say, oh, I'm not ready for deliverance ministry. Well, let me tell you that you're more ready than you think, and simply because if we were in war and we were behind enemy lines and we had a doctor with us and we had a medic, and then we had someone who knew a little bit of first aid. Let's say the doctor gets shot and killed. Guess what? The medic's elevated. Medic, you're the new doctor. Get in here. And he says, well, I don't know how to do that. And what if we lost the medic? Then we would go to the person that knew the most first aid and say, get in here. And they would reply, well, I don't know anything but first aid. That's good enough. Get in here and do this. So in the war that we're in, spiritual warfare, it's all hands on deck. It's every man and woman to their post. The need is unbelievable, Brother Shannon. The amount of people who contact me for deliverance, for prayer, is amazing. There's so much work to do, and you just, one person can't do it. So, you know, our purpose is supposed to be to equip the saints, to train and equip them. So we're going to go through a little bit of that equipping tonight. So I want you guys, again, to go to heavenlywarriors.com website. It's a free download. Everything I'm going to give you is, of course, free. There's no charge for any of this. But it's a download, and it's about, I think it's 18 pages of stuff. And you don't have to print it all off right now. You can if you want, but if you can just get it on your screen or not as we go through it. But what I want to do is just tell you what it is and how you can use it in deliverance ministry, because a lot of people want to do deliverance. They want to help people, but they don't really know how to do it or where to start. You know, they see people who are experienced deliverance ministers, and they make it look easy because, you know, we've done a lot of deliverance prayer. Shannon, you've done a lot of deliverance on the air. I've heard that. So it's easy for you. But some of these people will say, you know, I don't really know how to do that. So we're going to try to get into some of that tonight and explain some things to you. And again, I have my, you know, just a few things I can get into with the time allotted. But we'll do more of this because my goal is not just to talk on here for an hour and entertain you or, you know, give you a good sermon. It's to train you. This has been the Holy Spirit gym since day one, since I came on here. So I'm trying to get some warriors together, some fighters, some people who are in shape to do some things. So as you're downloading that, I'll give you just a few more minutes to get that. Again, my website, heavenlywarriors.com, HEAVENLYWARRIORS.com. And click the download button, and it should start to download immediately, depending on what computer system you're running. It should just go to your little download things if you know how to download.
Fantastic. That's heavenlywarriors.com if you're just tuning in. Go there right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you'll see a download button on the very front page. It's on a post, and it's probably right under. I think it has my song Breath on there, and right below that, you'll see a yellow button that says download. Basic deliverance questionnaire, your information. And that's a tool that you can have, and you print that off, put it in your files, and you can print as many of those as you want. And what I encourage you to do is when you're contacted for deliverance, and trust me, you will be contacted to do deliverance on someone once people realize you are a deliverance minister. That's all it takes is for people to start to realize, hey, we have a deliverance minister in our area. Then people will begin to contact you. They will come out of the woodwork because there are so few people who will do deliverance. There are a lot of preachers. You can find tons of those. You can find tons of evangelists, lots of pastors, lots of associate pastors, lots of music ministers. Those are abundant. But try to find a deliverance minister, good luck. So as you download that and get a hold of it, I'm going to give you one principle right before we go into that. And the principle that I want to talk about is how to choose your fights carefully. And that could be the title of our message tonight, Shannon, if you want to make a note. Picking your fights. Picking your fights. So there is one of the most important things for a professional boxer is picking the right fights for his career. When a fighter starts his first bout as a professional, is a little 4-round fight. It's not a 12-round event. They start out in little 4-round preliminary fights. The next thing they do is they go to a 6-round fight. After a few more months, maybe a year of training, then they move into the 8-round fights. And then when they're ready to fight for a U.S. title, United States continental title, it will be a 10-round fight. They fight 10 rounds. And then when they're ready for the world title fight, that's a 12-round fight. So that's how the rounds are increased little by little as boxers grow into their career. Now, if a boxer began it with his first fight was a 10-round fight and he's supposed to start in 4-round fights, you understand that he would be beaten badly because that's a whole... It's like if you're training to run a marathon and today's your first day to train and you go out and you run around the block today and then you come back tomorrow, put your tennis shoes on and you go out and try to run 15 miles. That's not going to work out for you very well. It's the same thing with a fighter. You have to pick those opponents, the opponents who are going to be good matches for your fighter. If I'm a boxing manager, trainer, promoter, I'm going to pick fighters who match up well with my fighter. I'm not just going to put my fighter in with anyone because you can ruin a very good fighter, a good prospect who could be champion by putting him in too tough a fight too early in his career. Is that making sense to you guys out there? You have to bring them along. By the same token, with spiritual warfare, you have to pick your fights wisely. You may or may not realize that Satan will attempt to get you in fights that you know have no business being in. That's happened to some of you. We find ourselves in fights that we say, how did I get into this thing? And it never ends well. Brother Shannon, have you ever had anyone that you prayed for, and you don't, of course, don't have to mention any names, but this person that you would just pray over and over and over, and it may be the same issue over and over, and you would never see any real progress or results. Same issue, same person back the next, you know, next time you speak with them with the same issues. Have you ever run across that?
I have. Yes, I have.
Yeah. Well, when that happens, sometimes what's happening is your resources are being drained off. You see, you only have a finite number, a limited number of resources. You only have so many hours in the day, as do I, as does everyone listening to this. So how you invest those hours are going to determine the benefit and the return you get on that investment. Satan loves to have us in what I call the black hole of spending your time praying for someone who is not going to receive it, and it's really not going to do any good. And the scripture that talks about this is in Jeremiah, the 7th chapter and the 16th verse, and all of you can go there and read that. You have Bibles. Jeremiah 7:16. And Jeremiah, you know, wants to pray for Judah. And the Lord tells him, pray no more for this people. Your prayers aren't going to do any good. Stop praying for them. That's startling. A lot of people don't even know that's in the Bible. They don't know that God ever told anyone to stop praying for someone, but he did. Because we have limited resources that we can invest in someone, limited amount of time. And sometimes, Satan can use people that can suck your time away from you when there are others in line needing deliverance or needing healing prayer or needing whatever. So you have to be wise about that and pick your fights carefully and start listening to the Holy Spirit. I always had an issue with needing to rescue. I was a rescuer. That was a spirit that had a hold of me. And you know, on the outside, that looks like a good thing, doesn't it? Man, you know, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friends. So I loved to rescue people. And when you are a rescuer, you have a rescue spirit. It's like you have a sign on your forehead that says, hey, I'm a rescuer. I want the most broken, messed up, dysfunctional people. Please, come to me. Let me give you my money, my time, my faith, my belief. And we go through life attracting these people into our life who will drain us. They will take from us. And that's a spirit I had to get delivered from. And that's that spirit of needing to rescue. Because I somehow found my worth in helping, rescuing people. And the more messed up they were, the more rescuing I could do. So it just made me feel I was more successful because I'm this great rescuer. But what would happen is all of the energies that I would spend on some dysfunctional people would just literally drain me, and I wouldn't have any energy when the real ministry opportunity that the Lord wanted me to invest my time in came along. I was already spent, and many of you know what I'm talking about, know exactly what I'm talking about. You can spend your resources on projects of that aren't going to come through. They're not going to return. And there comes a time when the Lord will tell you, pray no more for this person. Pray no more. Sometimes God is going to deal with them, and it's going to be severe, and he tells you, that's enough. There are other people out here that I want your time and ministry attention. And that's a learning thing that you'll get as you go through this. But I wanted to bring that point out that you need to learn to pick your fights. Don't jump into every fight that Satan puts in front of you. Now, it's okay to pray for people. I'm not telling you not, you know, when you're in your quiet time at night and you have a prayer list, to go down that. I encourage you to do that and call them out to the Lord. But as far as investing in certain people and trying to, man, just if I can just do a little bit more, if I can spend a little bit more time with them, maybe they need a little bit more money. I run across people who just couldn't manage money. Doesn't matter how much you give them, they're going to be back next week or next month needing a little bit more. And they will come around until you don't have any more, till you're dry or tapped out, and then they'll move on. There are people that I know of that go church to church to church getting handouts. They will go and get involved with a local church, and they will be boy on fire in there. Just one of the, I'm so happy that I found this church we've been looking for so long. Oh, by the way, you know, having a little bit of trouble with the electric bill this month, and of course the church people are so happy to find them. They say, well, we can help you with that. And they say, oh, would you really? God bless you. You're so awesome. Well, after about 3 or 4 months, then they ask for something again, and the person says, you know, I gave you money for that last month. Are you managing your money properly? Well, mysteriously, those people will disappear, and they won't be at that church anymore. They're at a different church. This happens all the time. So I'm telling you, you have limited resources, and learn to discern when you're investing properly in something that's going to benefit, because, as I told you at the top of this broadcast, there are storms coming. There are tornado clouds that are gathering, and they're coming. No one knows the time or how quickly. I just feel an urgency in my spirit, and I know Shannon does also, that time, we need to move quickly in whatever we're doing, whatever we are preparing to do. So, as I ask you to download the deliverance questionnaire, I want you to take a look at it. I'm going to briefly go over this. I'm not going to go in any detail, but I want you to know what you're looking at and how to use this. This is a tool for when someone contacts you and says, you know, I think I need deliverance, or I need deliverance, I've got demons, or, you know, whatever they may say. This is a tool for you to open up and start with them. When you do a deliverance, if you can do it face-to-face, if you're in the same area they are and you can get together and meet, that's always really the best way to do this. If you don't have any experience in deliverance, you'll definitely want to try to take someone else with you who has some experience. And if neither one of you do, you know, I can't really tell you not to go and try to help someone. That's going to just be your call. But you just ask the Lord to lead you. And there are some guidelines for doing it. And again, I'm just going to briefly touch on some of the things now. One of the things you want to be careful of doing is bringing people into your home to do deliverance for them. Okay, even though your home is, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered for the Holy Spirit, it's not a good thing to do deliverance in your home, and there are a lot of reasons for that. Now, if that's all you can do, if that's all you have, again, take it to the Lord and check with the Holy Spirit and see what he leads you to do. But as a general rule, it's better to be somewhere else, even if you go, you know, to their house. And if you're a woman, do not go alone. Do not go unless there is a man with you for protection. Demons get physical sometimes, and it can get hairy and get nasty. So this is a general piece of paper. Actually, it's several pieces of paper that I like for potential deliverance prospects to fill out for me, because I want to know who they are, where they came from, what influences they've had in their life. And as you will find, this is a very thorough and exhaustive questionnaire. And there's more that could have been on it, but I didn't put any more on it. Something I've used for a few years is this. But I want to just talk to you and why each one of these things is on here and let you take it, make notes. If you want to change it or whatever, I've actually got the Word file, and I'm happy to send you the actual Word file so you can open it up in Microsoft Word and change it, whatever you want to do, because it's all about the common good. We're all trying to do the same thing. So on page one of Heavenly Warriors Deliverance Questionnaire, if you have that, it just basic information, their name, who they are, their age, their date, telephone number, etc. Grade completed, college education. Now, when you're doing this, all of this information needs to stay with you. This is confidential stuff. People are going to be talking about some very sensitive things in here. So this is sensitive data that you're going to need to guard with your life, basically. You don't want this to be out of your presence. You don't want to lay this around or leave it anywhere. There's a lot of responsibility to being a deliverance minister, and this is part of it. So when it asks about their education, that is just to you are going to find sometimes that the more education a person has, the more difficult it's going to be to penetrate their layers to get in there, just because there's so much reasoning, and there you'll just find that out. We don't have time to go into all of that, but that's what that's for. Do you currently have any church affiliation or denomination? That's the next section. If they do, that tells you what their basic belief system is. If they say, yeah, I'm Baptist, well, you know what Baptists believe. And if you don't, you should learn and study that. But that way, that'll tell you what their situation is now, what their past affiliation was. And here's an important one. It says, what were the main reasons for leaving? You will find that many Christians who are under demonic attack, or people who are not Christians under demonic attack, had a bad situation in church. They had a bad experience somewhere. They were hurt by a pastor. He was, you know, whatever. You can fill in the blank, but you'll find this over and over and over. The next section is marital status. Are they married? How many times they've been married? Are they currently single? What does this tell you? It tells you if there seems to be patterns emerging. You want to look at this and look for patterns. You're not just trying to find out their personal life and what they do. You are looking for spiritual patterns that the Holy Spirit will zero you in on as you move forward. You will take this information, and then you will let the Holy Spirit speak to you on top of this. All this does is it starts the process so that you can get discernment to do the deliverance. I have found that the most important tool you have in doing deliverance is your discernment and what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you as you are doing the deliverance. You must train yourself to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And it's not necessarily a voice that speaks audibly. It can just be a knowing in your spirit. But you will know, the Bible says, by reason of use, your senses are exercised. By reason of use. So the more you use that gift of discernment, the more it will sharpen. And that's what this tool, this questionnaire is about. It's to allow you to have basic information, and then the Holy Spirit's going to prompt you in some of these areas. Some of these things will jump off the page at you when you are dealing with a person. And I encourage each one of you probably to fill one of these out yourself and just look at the areas that are going to emerge as potential problem areas for you that you may need deliverance in. Ask if they're widowed, if their marriage was annulled or separated. Going to page two in this, it says, what are your spiritual goals and objectives? This will tell you a lot about the person. You know, what do you want? What's your dream to be? And if the person just says, I don't have any goals, I don't care. You know, I just want to see if this demon stuff is real. You know right there that it's going to be a bit of probably a struggle to get anywhere with them. So you want to find out if they have any goals. What do they hope to accomplish from their deliverance prayer sessions? Get what they expect out of this thing. Some of them will expect that their head's going to spin around like Linda Blair on The Exorcist, and they're going to spit green pea soup. And you can tell them that's not going to happen. One of the things that I get a lot from people who are calling, wanting deliverance, I will hear the question, now, I'm not going to, like, get on the floor and start going crazy, am I? You're not going to, like, you know, hold a cross up and burn up. My head's going to burn a cross crucifix in my forehead or anything like that, are you? So people have all kinds of misconceptions, and you can ask them here and probe into that and, you know, of course, tell them, no, you know, you're not gonna have a cross burned into your forehead or any of the other stuff. But be honest with them and say, when the demons begin to manifest and start to come out, oftentimes, most times, they act up a little bit. And that's just part of this territory. That's what they do. They don't really want to get evicted. We are going to evict them from their home, and they don't like that too much. So they're going to act up a little bit. The next part is your spiritual information. Have you been born again? That's crucial. They're going to need to have that born again experience if they have any hope of holding their deliverance. Now here's the thing. We can cast out demons all day. Brother Shannon knows he can start doing a mass deliverance right now on the air, and we can go till 5 in the morning. We can cast them out. But if the person cannot keep them out, they're in worse shape than if they've never been cast out. If they come back with 7 of their buddies. So it's crucial to get them this foundation. They have to be born again and have that Jesus Christ living in them, that renewed spirit, or there's no hope to hold the deliverance. You can cast out demons, but there's no hope of getting them free, to keeping them that way. Next question, have you been baptized in water, and when? It's pretty self-explanatory. You want to know if they were sprinkled or had immersion all the way under the water. Important to know, again, for the denominational things, especially for people just now being born again, they need to be baptized. And I could go into a whole thing on baptism. Don't have time to do it here, but I'll probably do that in a future broadcast. If you currently attend a church, how often do you go? This will also tell you a lot about them. You know, if they go to church on Easter, that's when they go. Yeah, I go to church. Really? Yeah, every Easter, I'm there. Unless, of course, there's no seat for me, and then, you know, I just kind of look and see if it's full, then I leave. But I go, you know. So do you currently participate or volunteer in ministries? That's question number 4 here. And if they do, then find out what they do. What do they see themselves being called to do? Have you identified your spiritual gifts or calling, yes or no? If you answered yes, what do you feel your gifts are, and what do you believe your calling is? Do you see something emerging here as you're looking over this? You're seeing a profile of the person, who they are. Because when you do deliverance, the more you can get to that person and see what their dreams and aspirations are and what got them this door open. That's what all of this stuff is for. It's not just so you can do a book report or a dossier on this individual. It's so that you can find where the doors are open. Find the access points where the demons are getting into their life. Because if you can't find the doors, you can't shut the doors. So as you're going through this, again, listen to the Holy Spirit. This is not just an academic exercise or just, you know, another sheet of paper you have to fill out. The Lord knows we have enough paperwork we have to do in life already. Now, the point of this is God is going to speak to you through this as you begin to use it. So as we're moving on down, and it asks a little bit about what they feel their gifts or calling are and how often they read the Bible. Do they believe demonic powers are real? This is important. You know, if they don't even believe in this stuff, it's going to be real difficult for them for the demons to come out, because the demons have, they're blocking spirits in there that are not even allowing them to believe this is real. And the next question, describe your feelings about your current relationship with God. Is it a good one, or do you struggle, or do you not even feel close to God at all? Again, you're painting a picture little by little that's going to reveal to you who this person is and where the probable entry points are. So I'm going to skip over now to page 4. Again, I'm going through this kind of quickly. This is just something for you to have. But on page 4, there's a spiritual evaluation. And I'm going to read this. It says, for those of you who don't have it in front of you, it says, if you have had the experience described below, circle the yes, the why for yes. If you've never experienced it, circle no. Or if you were unsure, circle you, because you don't know. So if you mark a Y, you need to fill in the comments section. So I'm going to go through this. It's called involvement with the occult, witchcraft, or Wicca. First question. These are all yes or no or unsure answers. You may be unsure of this. Have you ever played with a Ouija board or a planchette? Yes or no. Have you ever done sorcery or divining? Yes or no or unknown. Have you ever done channeling of spirits? Have you ever faithfully read your astrology or horoscope? Have you ever dabbled in magic, either white magic or black magic? Have you ever had a fortune teller tell you your fortune? Have you ever done water witching or dowsing with dowsing rods? Did you ever play the light as a feather game of levitation? Have you ever sought to have psychic dreams? Have you ever had any contact with a witch or warlock that you know of? Have you ever had your palm read? Have you used runes? Have you used spell books? Have you used crystals? Have you ever cast spells? Have you ever taken any secret oaths? Have you ever done automatic writing or automatic painting? Have you ever placed curses on anyone or anything? Have you ever astral projected? Have you ever read tarot cards? Have you ever intentionally observed pagan holidays? Did you ever play the Bloody Mary game as a child? Have you ever sought out Native or Indian spirits? Have you ever participated in seances or incantations? Now, if you ask most people that, not Christians or Christians, if you just went down this list with the stop the next 10 people you see in the mall, you're going to find five or six of these things. They'll say, oh, yeah, I've done that. Oh, yeah, I've done that. These are all doorways, and people have no idea that they've opened themselves up. The light is a feather game of levitation. I played that. I was about 8 years old. I didn't know what it was. I just know that I lived next door to my grandparents, and next door to them on the other side of their house was a girl named Delise. And she was a couple of years older than myself. There were a couple of other neighborhood kids about my age. I was about 8 years old. She was about 12, 11, 12. Delise would tell us that she was a witch. Her mother was a witch, so she pretended, of course, she at that age probably wasn't a witch, but she pretended to be. And she told us we could play this game called Light as a Feather. Well, actually, she called it Stiff as a Board, Light as a Feather. And the way you play it is you lay flat on the ground, and you have whoever's there. In my case, it was her. She had two fingers. And then my sister down at my feet, who was a year younger than me. Two people, and I'm on the ground, flat. And we were in a dark storage room that was an appendage to my grandfather's garage. He had a dark storage room, and we would play. That was our fort, our playhouse, and it was dark in there, and this was in the middle of the afternoon. So Delise told me to lay on the floor and just lay there, and I said, what's going to happen? She said, you're going to float up in the air. And I said, cool. Because, you know, an eight-year-old, yeah, it sounds like a good idea to me. Let's do it. As I laid there, my sister, who was 7 years old, little kids, she's at my feet, and she takes two fingers, her index finger and the middle finger, and places them under my feet. Two fingers, that's all. Delise, who's the older girl, she may have been 11, maybe not even 12. She takes her two fingers and places them under my head. Just two kids in there and me on the floor. She begins to chant, stiff as a board, light as a feather, stiff as a board. And she chanted that, I don't know, five or six times. All of a sudden, I started to float. Now, look, I wasn't drinking. I was 8 years old. We didn't do drugs in my little town. I'm a kid. I started floating, and I don't mean like an inch. I'm floating up. Now, their fingers are under me, but my body is completely rigid. I remember floating up waist high, and I got all the way up to as high as they could lift their hands, because they're little kids, right? And they were holding their hands up in the air with two fingers, and I'm floating. But as high as they could reach, that's as high as I could go. And then they gently brought me back down to the ground, and I ended up on my back again. I said, "Man, that was neat. Let's do that again." And she said, "No, now it's your sister's turn." So my sister laid down. Same thing. I got at her feet. Delise got at her head and put the two fingers under. She floated up, levitated.
Wow.
Now, yeah. I mean, it happened, Shannon. And it's nothing to a kid, because kids live in a kind of suspended reality anyway. It was just another game we played. It didn't dawn on me that anything nefarious or bad had happened. I do remember that Delise, the girl who said her mom was a witch, she said, "By the way, don't tell the grown-ups about this, because they don't like this game." And we said, "Okay, you know, kids like to keep secrets." We never told anyone about that, and that never even came back to my mind until I read somewhere about the game, stiff as a board, light as a feather, and all of a sudden, it all came back to me. We played that as a kid. Now, we only played it once. We never played it again. But that happened just like that. So I know if it happened to me, how many tens of thousands of others it happened to the same way. The same thing with that game they play, Bloody Mary, where they look in the mirror and do that thing. Those things are real. Just as real as the Holy Spirit is and the angels of God. You are piercing through to another dimension when you're doing those things. So this list that I just read off to you, there are going to be, more than likely, many things that people are going to have to circle the Y on. Circle yes. And if they do, those are things that you will go one at a time to it and renounce it with them. Have them renounce it. They have to break any curse that came upon them because of these things, and it's a process. But this is the tool that you will use to do this. So the next section, page 5, and I'm not going to get all the way through it tonight. I'm just touching on this to let you see what it is, because this is something you can really use. Page 5, it says, involvement in Satanism or black magic. If you've ever been involved in Satanism, black magic, cults, or you suspect you may be the victim of satanic ritual abuse, please describe specifically what you believe you may have been involved in. There are many, many more people than you realize who at some point have been involved in some sort of black magic, some sort of witchcraft, some sort of thing. I know I was a kind of a product of the late 70s and 80s, and there was a band called Fleetwood Mac that was real popular then. And Stevie Nicks, who was the leader, the female singer in the band, very well known, she, you know, was outwardly a witch. She did songs about Rihanna, and, you know, that song Rihanna's about a witch. And those were popular number one songs on the radio. So young girls wanted to be like Stevie Nicks. They wanted to dress. If you notice her, you look at any of those concerts back in those days, she was dressed like a witch. She had the flowing clothes, and they literally did spells like that. The Eagles were into that whole thing, the music scene. They had a song called Witchy Woman. Listen to that sometime if you get a chance, and you will hear them literally describing demonic activity. So it was cool then to grow up, you know, into kind of the whole witchy thing. And because of that, many people dabbled in it or got deeper into it. And it's opened doors that have attached. They have attachments from that. You know, you got into the 80s and 90s and you had Sabrina, the teenage witch. You've always had things that kind of glamorized all the way starting back in the 1960s and 65, 66. When Bewitched, the show actually came out, and it was, Yeah, I'm not even going to go there. But anyway, when Bewitched came out, it glamorized witchcraft and things like that. And that's carried on to this day. So you know the movies, all of the vampire series, the thing. What was the real popular show that was out a few years ago about the vampires, the kids? There was a saga.
Twilight.
Yeah. All of that. So you see this, there's a fascination with this. So you can see where many people get involved in this stuff, and they're sucked into it. And once they get in, it's real hard to get out. So these are areas that you can, again, go through, look through these. You can break them up. You don't have to spring the whole thing on people. Sometimes what I do, now this is, I think it's 18 pages, it's a lot of stuff. But sometimes what I will do is just take sections of it. You'll notice it's in sections. Like it'll be one or two pages of a section and just go over sections at a time with them and say, hey, we just need to go over this and let's get some information, because you will jar some of their memories when they get into this. And what we're doing with this is we are exposing the demon strongholds. We're exposing the doors and the demons, because you will get reaction. When you hit on these nerves, these nerve endings, you as the deliverance minister, you are watching the people's eyes as you go over this. In other words, if you're sitting in front of them and you're going through this, watch them as you go to each one of these points and look for the body mechanics and what they're doing, because you'll get little hints and glimpses. Now, you need to have a notepad as you're going through this, and either you be taking notes or have an assistant. I always like to have an assistant with me who's taking notes and keeping up with stuff, because you as the deliverance minister have to, the more you can totally focus on the person in front of you and what the Holy Spirit's saying to you and the discernment, getting the spiritual discernment, the better off everything is going to be. So that's what I like to do, is try to just go 100% focus on the person being delivered and start listening to the Holy Spirit. But take it in sections if you can, and it's not overwhelming. None of this is intended to be overwhelming, but it's intended to be a tool for you to use. So, again, I want you to go to heavenlywarriors.com, and you can download this. It's free. Right there. Put it in your little file. Save it on your computer. Print it out. Take it with you. Look over it, modify it if you want to, do whatever you want to do with it. But that's how you will contact me also. It's heavenlywarriors.com, HEAVENLYWARRIORS.com. You know, every time I give that name and spell it out, I'm afraid I'm going to misspell it. It's like a mental block. You know, you do it so many times, I say, one of these times I'm going to misspell warriors and just put one R in it. But it's too hard. But there's a contact form on the Heavenly Warriors page, and you can email me directly at rickteaches@aol.com. That's rickteaches@aol.com. And I always love to hear from all of you, to just make contact. You never know when God has a word, a divine appointment for you, and you always need to move on that and reach out and try to make those connections that God gives you the urging to do. So let's pray. And then I'll hand it back to you, Brother Shannon. Father God, I thank you for this teaching tonight. I thank you for these tools. And more than that, I thank you for these hungry men and women who want more of you, who are tuning into Omega Man, who are coming to the well because they want a drink. They want you, Lord Jesus, and they want more of you. I thank you for those who you've called into this ministry, who you have anointed, and you are now equipping to go out and do the work. Do the work. The fields are white. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to count us as your soldiers tonight. Let your words be in our mouth. Let your thoughts be in our heads. And God, order our steps, as you say in your word, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. God, we ask you to find us righteous tonight in Christ Jesus. And we thank you, and we stand in agreement, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen. If you're just tuning in, be sure and check this out in the archive over at heavenlywarriors.com. Tonight's message with Pastor Rick Bell called Picking Your Fights, and pick up the deliverance question. I really like what you did over there. That's pretty awesome. And Rick, one bonus question. The dream that you shared at the beginning of the program, you and I were up on that tower looking around, and then all of a sudden the whole landscape was one of these tornadoes. Did the Lord show you any more after that? Did we make it out?
The vision actually ended, and we were somewhere down at the end of the strip. You know how the Las Vegas Strip is. You live there. We were down towards the end where the tower is, Circus, down on that end. And you know, if you look out past, it's not back towards the strip, but out. It's kind of just emptiness. That's where we were, and it was you and I in that tower, and it ended with the storms coming so quickly that we did say, we've got to warn everyone. We have to warn everyone. You know, that was our thing. We were trying to get out of that tower as quickly as we could, and I don't even know if we got out of the tower before they hit, because the vision, the dream ended, but I know that was our urgency, is we have to warn everyone. And it was so amazing that it was in Las Vegas. I told my wife at the time, I said, I had this dream about Las Vegas. What Las Vegas had to do with anything, but I was in Las Vegas. And I was in a tower, and there was another person in there, and we were just having a nice day. But it was a watchman tower. Now I realize, because I can see the tower. It was looked like those towers in the corners of the prison yard. So that's how it ended, Shannon, and it didn't. It was a warning that we are to tell everyone, there are storms coming. Now prepare for that. And I don't want people to get, you know, sidetracked into all this, the prepper stuff and all that. God clearly told me his people need to be prepping, but not with dried foods, gold, and bullets. Right. They need to prep with the Holy Spirit. Get your spirit man in order. Whatever, and I'm not telling you not to be wise and make provision for, you're going to need to survive, all right? Because listen, we are going to be the word that's left in this thing. We're going to be the ministers. We are going to be the ones that have to carry this light forward, because it's going to be rough. All hell will break loose at some point. So I'm not saying I want you just to lay down and die, starve to death, but don't get so focused on just getting your bunker ready and getting all of that, because what you think is going to sustain you is not going to do it. There are going to be ways to circumvent that you have not even thought of yet. The powers that be, when this thing comes down, I don't care if you have a 10-year stash of dried food that you think is going to sustain you hidden away in some underground thing somewhere. I can almost assure you right now, they probably have technology that they can fly a drone over and find hidden food. They can find anything you've got, and they will. They will take it. You know what I'm saying, Brother Shannon?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah, so the preparation for God's people is in this that we're talking about. Get this word in you. Get grounded in this word. If you have demonic issues, deal with them now. Deal with them now, because when the landscape of everything changes, it's going to be much more difficult, if not impossible, to deal with some of these things. I can't tell you, you know, why I feel that in my spirit, but I do. I feel like we have a limited time, a limited window to get in shape to be able to withstand those tornadoes, those storms that are coming. If you've not started to get in shape for that yet, the clock is running out. Brother Shannon, has God shown you anything like this? Is there any confirmation that you can lend to this, what I'm saying here tonight?
Absolutely. I've been feeling a urgency in my spirit the last several months. I just can't shake it. I feel like we're being propelled forward at a very fast rate into some very perilous times. And really, I felt in my spirit over the weekend. I was just riding down the road, and the Lord brought back what Terry Jefferson had shared on the program some weeks ago. Remember your training. what you're saying tonight is so true, Rick, because you know what? People can take away things that we prepare with in the flesh, in the physical. They can be confiscated. They can be forcibly taken away. You could be forcibly relocated away from your stash, whatever it is that you're putting up to, in the arm of the flesh to preserve yourself. But you know what? They can't take away what you and I write on the tables of our heart, the word that we put in, the training that we put in, knowing our authority to bind and loose and do spiritual warfare. No one can take that away from you. So we need to store up everything, write it on the tables of our heart, put it into our memory banks, because that we can carry with us, and it's going to come in handy in the days ahead. Again, really, Lord said, remember your training over the weekend, and I was pondering that. And now, this is another confirmation, what you've shared tonight. We are going into some terrible times, and you know what? Now's the time to get trained up and read Psalms 27 out there tonight, folks. Psalms 20, verses 7. Who are you going to put your trust in? Some put it in horses and chariots, some in their AR-15s or their bug-out bag. But we're going to put our faith and trust in the Lord. And you know what? It's time to do exploits. And you know, sometimes, brother, it's the safest place to be is in the eye of the storm.
That's true. That's a good point, man, right there. And
I never thought I would be here in Vegas. I mean, literally, if you'd have said, I'm coming out to Vegas, I said, are you kidding me? I know what Vegas is. It's on that marked list. You know, it's on Dimitri Dudeman's.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, you know, zero. But you know what? I believe God can also translate you like Philip. He wants to get you out of harm's way, or he can, you know, he warned me one time in Austin, Texas, of all places, there'd be a knock on my door in a few days. And you know what? The word came to my grandmother and I, and listen, I didn't waste any time. I heeded that warning, and sure enough, it happened. That's another story. I've run out of time for you tonight. Brother Rick, I want to ask you, if someone wants to support your ministry, how can they do that?
Yeah, please go to my website, heavenlywarriors.com. There's a little PayPal link on there that you can click and make a donation at any amount you want. And also, while you're at my website, subscribe to my podcast. It's right there up in the corner, right-hand corner. See you.